This is the Saxo Market Call, daily insights on what is moving the financial markets.
Hello and welcome to the Saxo Market Call. It is Tuesday, 27th of July, 2021. Interesting energy coming into the markets once again overnight as we have a Chinese equity market under pressure. So far, the U.S. major indices showing total immunity there, but this disconnect is getting rather painful. And I think the overall feeling should be one of a bit of unease here as we are looking at some earnings reports today from these biggest of all companies in the world and in the U.S. I'll get to that later. And regardless of the strength of the results, I think we look at the backdrop. I think there may be some cause for pause, but we'll see. In the meantime, let's have a look at slide two. You see the NASDAQ 100 there, managing to maintain that 15,000 level overnight. And I would say 15,000 is the tactical support. Getting below there, you're starting to see a little bit of confirmation on something like the divergence in the MACD. You can see there on that small NASDAQ 100 chart on slide two. And looking at our sector breakdown, a massive bump in the crypto space yesterday, obviously on that story boosting Bitcoin up to some $4,000, whatever the amount was, to above $40,000 at one point. And that is a really key pivotal area. However, Amazon's specific denial that it was looking to accept Bitcoin payments, and there was even some rumors about it creating its own coin, specifically denied yesterday, and we've seen it selling off. I think pretty impressive that it didn't sell off even worse, but down around 37K the last time I checked it this morning, even a little bit below. There was another story that should have maybe gotten more attention in the background, Tether. Some of the CEOs linked to that being charged by the Department of Justice for fraud. So look out for that story. And Tether is one of these key stablecoin, for those that are cryptocurrency skeptics and have concerns around the whole space, there's been a lot of focus around that Tether. So I would track that story as well. But back to our equity theme breakdown on slide two, the different baskets we look at, et cetera. We continue to note, of course, that it has been a very narrow rally, very concentrated in the largest names. The value has not done that well. Transports have done okay over the last couple of days, but are down, well down from the highs. And then look on our chart there, the MSCI emerging markets in dollar terms down 2.4%. And that was yesterday's close. And that is because of the heavy Chinese weighting in that emerging market space. And down month to date, over 6%. That's not even including what we've seen overnight here. And I have that on the following slide, on slide three. We need to have a couple of eyes on, at least one eye, on the Chinese equity market. When I came in this morning with that sort of line, the big horizontal line you're seeing there was somewhat holding. And we saw, but we saw some pretty bad selling coming in late in the session. I think this is spooking investors, obviously a big technical level there as well. That sort of 4,900 area. And it's of course linked to the recent crackdown on a number of industries. I think in some cases, this is a very interesting model for what could be coming for some of the big infotech giants and monopolies in the rest of the world. In addition, we saw news items like ARK Innovation Funds, Kathy Wood talking about reducing her exposure to Chinese equities to 0.32% from as high as 8% in February. That was when we were seeing the peak back in February. I think there could very well be a stampede out of Chinese equities from the rest of the world, if that is any indication. And I would suspect that it is, with this Kathy Wood and her ARK Innovation Fund being one of the thought leaders in terms of allocating to a lot of tech names globally. So certainly bears watching here, and especially the disconnect between record highs the day before yesterday in equities, while we have a Chinese market that's essentially in a collapse here. So keep some focus on China as well. And then we have maybe on somewhere in the fringes of this, related to this, a record low in U.S. real yields. This is certainly worth noting and what it means potentially for the outlook, assuming there is price discovery in U.S. nominal yields. And that is a big caveat, as we've mentioned so much. And whether that price discovery comes back in or volatility comes back in to the U.S. Rates as we hit the August timeframe, etc. But let's look at a chart on slide 4, where you can see that the real yield there, 10-year real yield, so what you're getting after inflation is 110 basis points negative, hitting a new low. And again, with inflation expectations still high, while we have these nominal yields pinned not far from recent lows, it suggests if the price discovery is there, that the market is concerned that we are in a stagflationary type of scenario, weak real growth with high inflation. And if this inflation doesn't come back quite significantly, we're going to see the real growth this year is going to far underperform what the projections have been, because a lot of that growth will have been eaten up, of course, by inflated pricing. Now, turning to a couple of other themes and to FX, we have, I think, kind of an interesting inflection point here. So some commodities coming back with decent rallies recently, crude oil, not least among those. And I just noticed, I pulled up a Euronaki chart, because we have seen quite a pullback lower, sort of a reversal. We're not quite there yet. So we're sort of at these pivotal levels you can see on the chart on slide 5 in Euronaki. But I noted that the recent high, actually, I'm sure coincidentally, but I think it's nothing's completely by coincidence, coinciding with the single day back in November 9th of last year, when the efficacy of these vaccines was sort of released into the public space. And that's exactly coincided the close of that day with the recent high in Euronaki. But this area looks pivotal between here and perhaps that 200-day moving average, a bit lower. And I would argue we need to see crude oil prices maintained and even pushing towards the highs of the cycle to get the Naki back on track. Again, with our concerns in the backdrop here, this disconnect with China, if we are headed for a bit of a weak risk sentiment, a stronger dollar, that might impact crude oil prices and keep Euronaki a bit elevated here. But certainly see more value in Naki relative to Euro, assuming we're going forward, that moving forward, we are going to see much higher oil prices, even if the bulk of that move could risk being a 2022 move. And then elsewhere in the FX space today, and EM focus in general, credit spreads have actually been widening in a slightly more determined, if not very alarming at all, fashion than we've seen in quite some time. And that probably is behind something like the Hungarian forint weakening a bit here, as you can see on slide 6. Versus the euro. But there's also the story of real yields in Hungary, where we've seen those inflation prints poking back above 5%. And while the central bank there has certainly come on board with a much more hawkish policy, you can see that big swoon there in May. That was right around the time the Hungarian central bank made it very clear that it was interested in hiking rates to preserve, to help defend the value of the currency, and to get real yields back where they need to go. But since then, despite rate hikes ongoing and one expected today, 20 basis points to bring the rate to 1.1%, we've seen Eurohuff actually quite a bit higher. So we're going to need to see a pretty stern message from the Hungarian central bank, I think, to get this foreign back going higher versus the euro. And we'll see if they can deliver that. And again, if we are seeing a risk sentiment backdrop and EM spreads widening, the bar becomes that much higher for the central bank there to impress. And then elsewhere in the FX space, you can see the overview on slide 7 of the G10 trends, all sort of fading, just about. Most of them back below 2, except for the weak Aussie. I think there's some contagion from China there. And we've talked about the importance of that 74 plus level in Aussie dollar, certainly trading heavily again just before I came in to record this podcast. And I think it's pointing to the fact that we're back towards pivotal levels for these trends as we go into tomorrow's FOMC. We need to get some sort of dollar, a US dollar jolt one way or another. I'm not expecting anything on the hawker side from the FOMC, but hopefully we'll have Stan Jakobsen to also help us provide his thoughts on the FOMC, as well as especially what's going on in China. I think some key perspective there. We'll look for that tomorrow. But for now, I think we're in this very much in a waiting period. Eurodollar still trading heavily, back below 118 yesterday, seeing a minor rally there. And something like cable looks a little bit more impressive. The attempt at a bullish reversal here, as I put a small slide there on slide 7, as we move back above the big break line that happened recently and back above the 200-day moving average. But this is happening before we get to the other side of the FOMC, which is a key event risk. So We need the, you know, we need to get to the other side of that and really see it pushing back towards, let's call it the resistance line there from early July into 139 to call this a bullish reversal. So uncertainty pretty much all around, as I highlighted as well on the Uranaki chart, etc. Now, on the earnings front, we saw a Tesla out yesterday after the close with results that quite impressed the market. They managed a revenue beat that was quite strong, almost hitting $12 billion. That was a few percent north of expectations, managing to avoid the worst impacts of these chip shortages, although it is still bemoaning the forward risks of shortages and the uncertainty there. And shares were up after hours on top of a pretty decent session yesterday. But again, we've talked about the difficulty with Tesla to the upside because of valuation concerns and very much in the bubble stock basket. Focus also in late trading yesterday on the biggest U.S. chip company, Intel, which had an event called, I believe it's called Intel Accelerated late yesterday, basically outlining its plans to sort of retake its traditional status as a major chip fab company. The market was not buying any of it, however, as shares dropped over 3.5% at one point in late trading. So an interesting signal there about the market's belief in whether Intel can manage to clear this hurdle, which is a multi-year hurdle in getting back attempting to even try to compete with the likes of the TSMC, if I'm saying the letters correctly, the huge Taiwanese semiconductor maker, especially at the top end of the chip market. And then focus switches today to the largest of large companies today and tomorrow and Thursday, as Apple, Alphabet, and Microsoft all report. With Alphabet, I'm showing the chart here on slides 8, and you can see the overview of the rest of the earnings this week, having a really solid week of it so far, as we've, especially on the back of the Twitter and Snap results that indicate a very strong online ad market. Of course, Alphabet, the most exposed to that specific market among the three top names reporting today. So that'll be interesting in after hours trading. Apple, a lot of focus on difficulty of quarter-on-quarter comparisons or year-on-year comparisons, but also a lot of focus on the services growth there after a couple of very strong quarters of growth for Apple. LVMH, by the way, reporting yesterday and blowing the doors off, especially with handbag sales. Not my area of expertise, but there you have it. Okay, and then switching over to the macro calendar, a couple of interesting things to pull out besides just the Hungarian Central Bank that I mentioned earlier. We have this May home price index. It's old news. It's going to show strong home price gains in the U.S. One of the key things there is, by the way, and as we've mentioned before, this owner's equivalent rent and whether that starts to take the lead in signaling how much inflation we're seeing coming in. As there is a well-established correlation or lag when you see home prices spiking higher, you get lagging rises in the owner equivalent rent and rental prices in general. So that'll be an interesting thing to watch for going forward. Also interesting is the July consumer confidence report out today, as we saw a pretty ugly dip in the preliminary University of Michigan sentiment reading. And we've also seen a couple of surveys, at least one survey indicating a general concern around the direction of the country. Some really big moves and shifts there. This could be the sort of snowball effect of the Delta variant and oh no, not all this stuff again. But certainly bears watching, because consumer confidence generally correlating most with the strength of the labor market. And then early in the Asian session, and besides, of course, our need to continue to focus on the Chinese market, we have the Australian CPI, and it's only a quarterly release, so we have to be patient between releases here. The headline expected at the highest levels since essentially the 2008 oil-inspired spike. Watch for the core type readings, this trimmed mean, etc. Those are not expected to be particularly remarkable, even if they are at local highs. But if we get a significant surprise there, maybe it could start to unseat the market's confidence that the RBA will remain the sort of most dovish of those central banks in the G10 that actually have slightly positive yields going forward. So I'll be watching that as an interesting release. Of course, the FOMC meeting tomorrow with Delta variant concerns, et cetera, not so not so concerned that the FOMC brings something new. But I think Steyn has indicated that, for some reason, this July meeting has provided volatility, plenty of volatility in the past. And we have talked about we are transitioning into an important, we're getting clear as we move into August of important one-off factors like that Treasury general account unwind that has been providing liquidity and maybe obscuring some of the price discovery ability in the Treasury market. We have a couple of Treasury auctions coming up as well. Those are not on the calendar, but we'll cover those if they show any interest. Show any interesting developments. All right, that was a mouthful. I think the market energy is quite interesting here to see again where this this huge dispersion in outcomes, China relative to the U.S. going into FOMC, going into these massive earnings reports and the guidance that we get out of those, how this all shapes up as we're also going into a new month and getting clear of these one-off factors as indicated. So I think potentially energy building for some more volatility here. Stay on your toes. Be careful out there. And we'll be back tomorrow with the Saxo Market Call.
Thanks for listening. This has been the Saxo Market Call. For feedback and questions, reach out to us on Twitter at Saxo Market Call or by email, marketcall@saxobank.com.